Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis. Bob Christopher is away today, and I'm joined by somebody named Richard Piper.
Howdy.
Man, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Glad I could be here. Man.
Looking forward to this time. I know we're going to have a good time today. And friends, we'd love for you to be a part of today's program. So if you have Bible questions, life issues, or whatever you'd like to discuss, well, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. Call now because it's Basic Gospel. And Richard, as I said, it's great to have you. What's been on your mind and heart lately?
Well, actually, a good friend of ours came to visit us this week, and last night we were talking about some stuff, and she said that I have just been so moved by Isaiah 30 recently, and I'm going, Isaiah 30. I know
yep,
there's something
like I did.
important there, and so I looked it up, and sure enough, one of everyone's favorite verses in the Bible, Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it."
Hmm.
And we quote that verse and we say amen, and yeah. we think we're so holy. and I'm looking around at the chapter going, what's the context of this thing? What was going on? Well, if you look at Isaiah 30, it starts off with a whole bunch of words from God about the fact that Israel actually... Judah, in this case, had run off to Egypt to form political alliances when he had explicitly told them not to do it. And they were paying the price because every time they made an alliance like this, they got kicked. Somebody would show up and kill a bunch of them or destroy a town or two, and it went on over and over and over again. And it eventually led to Judah being wiped out completely when Babylon finally came and defeated them.
Right.
And so he's saying to them, look, you're reaping what you've sown. You've done all of this. You have purposely left me in the dust. You refuse to listen to me. And you think what's going to happen is that he's just going to say, that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm done with you. But God never does that.
That's right.
He says, oh, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, this is in verse 19, you will weep no more. So in spite of all this stuff they had been doing, God says to them, I've got you.
Mm-hmm.
You're mine. And the time is coming here when whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Mm-hmm. So what he is telling them is, I'm coming back for you. Wherever you are, I'm going to bring you back here. And we know now from our perspective, he's talking about Messiah showing up.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, in the way this usually causes so much trouble to us, is that we always tend to think that whatever it is we're doing wrong, we've got to stop. And then we'll hear the voice of God telling us which way to go. And he doesn't say it that way.
No.
He says it the opposite way. This is the way, walk in it. Okay, that's God's voice to us.
Mm-hmm.
Then you will defile your idols. It's after God's voice comes to us that we give up the idolatry. Well, we don't have any trouble with idolatry these days. I mean, Israel did, of course, but that's because of who they were. No, what is an idol? I mean, God talks about them being overlaid with silver and carved images and all that kind of stuff. But we know more than that right now. Sure,
yes,
those kind of idols exist. But an idol is anything besides God from which we derive our identity.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying to us, if you will listen to me, my voice is there. If you're lost, my voice is there asking you to come to me. If you're saved, my voice is there telling you this isn't who you are. And in both cases, when we listen to his voice drawing us to himself, always drawing us, then we will defile those idols. If your idol is money, if that's where you derive your identity, you will throw that idol away and realize that money is a gift from God to be used to bless others, as well as bless yourself, because he's given it to you. You will realize that your favorite sports team, sorry about that, all you Dallas fans,
oh,
it's a tough year. But you can go on in spite of sports. Right now, you can go on in spite of politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do not derive your identity from the government of the United States or Canada or France or any other country in the world. Sure, God uses these countries. He establishes leadership to take care of people, keep safety, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But do not derive your identity there, because you will be disappointed. Instead, listen to that still small voice that is inside of you, drawing you to him for the first time, perhaps, and after you've accepted Jesus, continually drawing you back, because we go wandering off into the weeds in a heartbeat, but he constantly draws us back. You will never, ever be thrown on the trash heap, because God is there with you.
Great thoughts, Richard. Great insight, and thank you for being with me again today. I want to remind our listeners who don't recognize your voice, well, shame on you, because you haven't been listening long enough. Richard has been on the staff at Basic Gospel for many, many, many years, and just retired, what, just last year?
Yeah, and, a little more than a year ago.
But we're at
tough duty.
Tough duty, yeah.
So hard.
So glad to have you with us today, my friend. Yeah, Richard, I know that you remember and agree that our donors are very, very special people. The only reason that we're able to be here every day, every weekday, is because of our donors who give to support a message that has resonated with them. We pray that God will bless you richly, every one of you who support this ministry and this message. And every month we say thanks by making available a resource that can help deepen their faith and understanding of his grace in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So friends, this month, as you make your gift, we want to send you our latest resource produced by Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel. It's called Against the Current. It is indeed. It's intended to help readers deepen their faith, to stand out rather than being assimilated into this world system. Against the Current. We want you to have a copy of it, and we'll send you one as you make your October gift. Again, we hope you'll do that today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, once again, that phone number. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Again, 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, out to Arizona we go. We're going to talk to Greg. Hi, Greg. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Richard. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi there. Good to hear from you.
It's interesting that you, Richard, would talk about this is the way, walk in it today, because it does show the absoluteness of the authority of God's Word. And this whole month, my Basic Gospel has been emphasizing the essentials. And I am noticing more and more where people who say they're part of the Grace New Covenant community are saying things like, no human beings will be in hell or the lake of fire. Faith is not necessary to be saved. Everyone is saved by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, and other things like this. And the things that all these have in common is a failure to submit to the authority of God's Word. And when someone like myself or yourselves stands up and say, no, that is error, that is heresy, you have to submit to the authority of the Word of God, we're sometimes called unkind, unloving, and not respectful. Yet Paul in Galatians 1, 8, and 9, and Galatians 5, 12, had some very stern words for those who would bring another gospel. He said that they would be accursed. And for those who would say, you must be circumcised and keep the law, he said, I wish you would emasculate yourselves. That doesn't sound too kind.
Yeah. So let me jump in, Greg.
Go ahead. What I want you to do is talk about the importance of submitting to the authority of God's Word.
I'm going to do that, but I may take it a slightly different direction. It is very obvious, and I'm living proof of it, that anyone can make the Bible say what they want it to say. I used to teach passionately, I mean passionately that the whole letter to the Hebrews was about the Mosaic Covenant. I can't tell you today how I got there, but I got there. and the fact that I couldn't live up to the Mosaic Covenant only made it worse because I felt so guilty. And one day, God got a hold of me and said, Richard, you're wrong. And, you know, of course I argued with him. Of course I'm not wrong. You know, I of all people, Lord, am right. And he kept after me and kept after me and kept after me. And it turned out that the only way for me to accept the authority of Scripture and to submit myself to Scripture properly understood was to accept God's grace by faith. I had to say to God himself and to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, I am wrong. I am not able to understand everything there is to understand. Therefore, I have to accept a higher authority. And based on the love I've been shown, based on the things that I did know for sure in the Bible, the only being in all of the universe worthy of that kind of submission is God himself, as explained to us by Jesus himself. And when I stopped trying to work at it, then God began to work in me and renew my mind and throw out a whole bunch of other stuff that I believed that was heresy. It really was. No one could argue me into it. No one could point out 43 other scriptures that disproved my point of view. It was my point of view, doggone it, and it's mine, and you can't touch it. And I would argue and get angry and all of that, and when God finally got through to me and the anger went away, then I could say, oh, Lord, what have I done? And then he would say, you've done what every human has done. Why don't you look at what I have done? And then things changed. And so I agree with you. There are people out there who claim to be absolute believers in the grace of God, and they say that everybody is saved, and we know the Bible teaches that everybody is not saved. I would not be able to argue them out of that position. And so I'm in this hard place, between a rock and a hard place, where I have to honor someone for being who they are. You know, they're a child of God, they may be confused. If they're not a child of God, that's a different conversation. Yeah. But a child of God who is confused is still a child of God. It is not mine to judge. It's not mine to throw them under the bus. It's mine to love them, and that's the hardest thing of all, because it's easy for me to point out people's error. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Ask my wife. You know, I'm listening to something, and she says, Richard. And, you know, and I'm going after it again.
Yes, darling. Yes.
but at the same time, there is great power in the love of God working through us as only he can to ask a right question at the right time. And they may not have an answer for you, but the seed has been planted. Somewhere down the road, that seed is going to bear fruit, and they're going to say, oh, Lord, what have I done?
Yeah.
And he's going to say, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
And we're back to where we need to be. So it's a hard thing to deal with people who are teaching error, but we've got to be careful and make sure that we love them back into the fold instead of beat them back into the fold. And they'll accuse us of all kinds of things. Just let it roll off your back. I mean, if they could do to Jesus what they did to Jesus, then who are we to complain about some of the things that might be attempted to us?
Absolutely.
But the Bible is true. It is vital, but it's only vital in Christ. Otherwise, we make it into anything we want it to be.
Yeah. Greg, does that help?
Yes, it does. I think one other thing that concerns me is the influence that the ones teaching falsehood may have on people. For example, you know, well, if everybody's going to heaven and this guy, I see where he teaches the Bible all the time, he must know what he's talking about. Well, I got nothing to worry about. Everybody's going to heaven.
True.
I think that concerns me more is who they're influencing in the wrong way. More than I'm concerned about the false teacher.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true, but it's irrelevant. I am concerned for those people, but God is way more powerful than I am or the false teacher is. If they're leaning toward Jesus, he will make sure they hear what they need to hear and ignore the rest of it. So anyway, thanks for your call, Greg. We've got to move on, but that was a great call.
Thanks, Greg. Really, really appreciate your call. We had calls that came in overnight, but I want to give the phone number for the live broadcast once again. That's 844-322-2742. We still have plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And we did have this call, actually, that came in over the weekend. Let's listen.
Hi, Bob. My name is Joseph, and I was actually listening to the radio today, and I came across your guys' your radio broadcast. And I have a question. So I grew up Mormon. I have not been religious for a very, very long time. And my question is, did Jesus die for our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane or on the cross? So I think growing up Mormon, it's a little confusing because it's a little different than most, like, different Christianity. So anyway, I'd love to have an answer for that question. Appreciate you sharing the message there, and hopefully I can start getting into a little bit. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Let me preface your answer just a little bit. This is one of the very, very strongest reasons for our listeners to support this ministry and this message, because here's Joseph coming out of Mormonism, a brand new Christian, and we were on the dial when he tuned across looking for something, and he found basic gospel and he found truth. So that's the importance. That's the strength of basic gospel being on the air every day.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a good question. Jesus suffered mightily at the Garden of Gethsemane. Sweat, drops of blood. It was so stressful for him. But he didn't die. What he did was choose. What he did was to say, "Not my will, but yours," to his Father. You see this in Luke 22. There's also, it's explained in Matthew. Jesus didn't die in Gethsemane, but he chose to die if that's what the Father said would happen. And he died on the cross during the crucifixion. And when he was in there, as John tells us, you know, he's getting to the end of things, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's at that moment, Jesus became sin. He didn't become sinful.
Right.
He became sin. He identified with all of the sin in all of history. And then the greatest act of faith ever done, he said, in spite of feeling separated from God the Father, he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Here it is."
Right.
"And if that means I'm dead forever, so be it. I'm still giving it to you." That's when he died. That's when sin was defeated. Right there, that moment on the cross. The story's not done. He had to be resurrected. He had to defeat death as well. The story's not done. He had to ascend to the Father, and he did. The story's not done. He had promised and made sure that the Holy Spirit was given back to us as his children, so that whole, what theologians call the Christ event, was necessary in order for sin to be defeated, death to be defeated, and eternal life given to his children.
Right.
This is something that I mean, you can think of it as eternity entering time and changing everything. And boy, did he ever.
Boy, did he ever. Joseph, thank you so much for reaching out. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to contact us. We love hearing from you. Love the fact that you reached out to Basic Gospel. So that's why we're here. And again, glad you did that. Well, let's go and listen to another phone call.
Hi, my name is Kelly, and I'm stoked to be able to call you guys. You've been changing my life. I'm going through head and neck cancer treatment, and so I spend a lot of time at home, and I just play you nonstop. And some of the things that you say are just so magical, and I just love the way you guys get stoked when you're talking. Anyway, my question is, I understand that I'm saved. You had answered that question at one time, and but it's like I get on the road, and I have so much rage in it. I don't know where it comes from. I don't feel like a horrible person, but I just wonder how to get that inner strength from Jesus Christ. And anyway, I've been sharing a lot about you guys, and I'll keep listening. Thank you for what you do.
Wow, Kelly, thank you.
Really?
I love the truth, the way she describes her life. She's saved. She's become a child of God, but she's got issues. Well, I can tell you the immediate place that anger is coming from. It's coming from cancer. You're sick, and you may die. I don't know that for certain. Hopefully the treatments are having a positive effect, but it's completely natural, normal. It is human to get angry over these kind of situations. The other place this anger is coming is that even though you're now a child of God, the enemy, Satan, one of his minions, is still besetting you. He can't have you, and you'll never belong to him again. But he can suggest things to you. And usually in a serious illness like this, one of the things he suggests is, you must have screwed up someplace, and you're not worthy. And doggone it, God isn't helping you, and you should be mad, and or something similar. Yeah. Whatever pushes your particular buttons and sets you off, it's completely normal to be angry in this kind of a situation. On the other hand, God has promised. I mean, Paul describes this in 2 Corinthians. He says, I mean, I have this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but it was something really serious. And he says, 3 times I asked God to take it away. Well, for a Jew, to say something once was important. To say things twice was impactful. Mm-hmm. To say it a third time, and to God himself, this is the equivalent of Paul saying to God, look, man, it's time to do something about this.
Yeah.
And all 3 times, God said to him, fear not, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And that's where you need to go with this. Whatever is the cause of it, and notice, it's not something like you said when you're driving. Somebody cuts you off, and your reaction to that is way over the top. Well, that's because you're suffering from this illness, and you're suffering from the devil suggesting terrible things to you. Let the power of God's grace wash over you, and regardless of healing or not healing, remind you that you are his forever. The very worst thing that could happen in your timeline is that you will die, and then you will be with God in eternity, with Jesus. There's nothing better than that. Seriously, nothing better than that. The best thing that could happen in your timeline is that you are healed and you get the rest of your life on this earth to thank God for it and to continue telling your friends about who Jesus is.
Yeah.
I mean, you are the ideal Christian person right now. You're definitely human. You've had this terrible thing happen to you, but you belong to Jesus. And there's nothing and no one in the entire universe who can break that bond. Let me say that again. There is nothing and no one in this entire universe that can break that bond that you have with Jesus. Count on it. Accept it as the truth and let that truth set you free. Over time, the anger will begin to lessen. But keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. His grace has saved you.
Kelly, thanks for reaching out. We hope this is a help to you. If we can help further, just reach out again. Well, friends, thank you for joining us for our Basic Gospel today. If you have Bible questions or some troublesome issue of everyday living, well, give us a call. The voicemail system is open for you every day at 844-322-2742. Just let us know what's going on, because we would love to address the issue and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, thanks to the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. We need your continuing support, friends. If you've been unable to help us so far, well, you can join us now by making a gift at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with our genuine thanks to our great friend Richard Piper for being with us today, this is Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.